Welcome to MTG Pro Tutor, your gathering of insights, tips, and advice from renowned players and community icons. Connect with venerated teachers to gain the knowledge you need to improve your skills. Now, here's your planar guide and personal tutor, Sean Penrod.
Hello and welcome back. This is episode 285 of the MTG Pro Tutor Podcast. I am Sean Penrod, your host. So happy you are joining us today. First and foremost, I want to give a huge welcome and shout out to Wade McNutt, who is the newest patron joining at the Vexation of Zombies level. How cool is that? So what does that mean? Well, as the goals are met in Patreon, and you can go to mtgpro2.com/Patreon to see what they are, they scale up from being able to sustain the show at one episode per week to two episodes per week to unlocking swag such as t-shirts, deck boxes, card sleeves, play mats, all that good stuff. As those new merch items are unlocked, Wade and the other zombie patrons will receive them for free. They'll get the first wave of merchandise as it is unlocked. And there's a certain goal in there that unlocks monthly hangouts with me and special guests from the show. And anyone who is in the Vexation of Zombies or above gets invited to that hangout as well. So Wade, welcome to the patron family. Welcome to the Vexation of Zombies. And thank you so much for your support. I look forward to hooking you up with all the sweet swag. And of course, starting from now, Wade, you will be considered in every drawing going forward for the monthly giveaway. Speaking of the patron exclusive monthly giveaway, we have selected a winner for the April giveaway, and I will be announcing that at the end of the show, so stay tuned to see who won the Dominaria bundle for the patron exclusive monthly giveaway. So can't wait to announce that. That prize, of course, is provided by Paragon City Games, proud sponsor of the show. So thank you so much to them for all that they do. And speaking of Dominaria, another announcement before we dive into the interview is the Prodigy Sealed League is back. We are doing the Dominaria Prodigy Sealed League. Registration is open right now and it closes tomorrow. If you're listening to this episode the day it comes out on Friday, then tomorrow, Saturday, is the last day to register. So make sure you go to mtgprotutor.com/sealed league. That's /sealed league. That will redirect you to the page. And you can join there, and there'll be detailed instructions on how to register. Basically, what happens is registration is open right now, closes tomorrow. You pay $16 to register for the event, and early next week, you will be getting your pool of six Dominaria booster packs. But then you will build a sealed deck, and we'll start playing with each other over the next several weeks with a cut to top eight and prizes for everyone who makes it to the top eight. It's a lot of fun. Ask anyone who's done the sealed leagues before. This is a great opportunity to play with other prodigies, hop online and get some magic in your system. So I love it. It's a great opportunity for me to interact with you on another level. And it's really fun to just play some magic. It's really great. So mtgpro2.com/sealed league is where you can go to join the league. Again, it's a separate group that we have set up. That's where we will coordinate everything. We've gotten better and better with each league. So you can expect things to be much smoother this time around as well. I look forward to having you join the league there. If you think about it, $16 for a sealed league is a steal, so come on in, join us, and we look forward to having you there. So that's a lot of fun. I'm glad we're doing that again. And if you are on our newsletter, which comes out on Fridays as well, there will be a link in there as well for the sealed league, so check that out. On that note, if you're not getting the newsletters, I highly recommend you do. Jeff Sheeran is the MTG Pro Tutor scribe, and he has excellent tips that he shares each and every week, and we also keep you up to date with the latest episode and anything else that's going on, such as the Sealed League and stuff like that. So check out the newsletter if you're not already subscribed, because there are some excellent tips that come each and every week. Well, there you have it. Kind of a lot going on this time, which is always fun. Not to mention that this weekend is GP Toronto, so good luck to everybody heading out there to make a run for the dreams. I will be busy at home celebrating my daughter Avison's first birthday. How cool is that? It's blown my mind. I hardly believe a year ago tomorrow, again, if you're listening to this live on Friday, tomorrow is my daughter's birthday and she will be turning one. And I'm just so blessed to have her in my life. So thankful I have an amazing wife who loved the name Avison. And, I get to kind of live the dream, name my daughter after a magic card. So that's really, really cool for me. So she's adorable. And so that's what I'll be doing tomorrow. Hope everybody going to GP Toronto plays well. I'm looking forward to hearing your story when you get back. If not making it out to a Grand Prix, then I hope you make it out to some magic event and have some fun getting together with friends and casting spells, attacking the creatures, strategizing, and all that fun stuff that we just love about magic. So anyways, well, let's keep on going and shift our focus to our amazing guests that we have today. And now let's bring them in, sit down, and talk about magic. What's up, everybody? I am super pumped to have our guests with us today. Our guest has three Grand Prix top eights, including being the champion of the ninth ever Grand Prix. Come to us from Las Vegas, Nevada, prodigies near and far. Let's welcome the one, the only, Robert Twarowski. Robert, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Fantastic. Thank you. Are you ready to delve into your mind and share with the audience tips and tricks to take the game to the next level?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Excellent. So, prodigies out there, if you want to connect with Robert, you cannot find him on Twitter because he's not there. But actually, Robert, we have a Pro Tutor Prodigy Facebook group. If you want, we can add you to the group there, and then people can do a post and tag you in the post if they want to reach out and ask more questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Add me to that group.
Cool. Sweet. So we'll get you in there sometime before the interview goes live. And prodigies, if you want to connect with him, that's the best place to do that. If you're not a member yet, go to mtgprotutor.com/Facebook group and you'll be redirected there. No worries. So Robert, are you born and raised in Las Vegas?
No. I was born in San Diego, but I moved here when I was 11. Oh, so, wow. I mean, I went to high school and I learned how to drive here. So I feel like I'm a native.
That's cool. I really like San Diego. I lived there when I was stationed there for the Navy, and it was the favorite place that my wife and I were stationed. So we like San Diego a lot. What part of San Diego did you live?
I don't remember a lot of the places when I was younger, but the last place we lived was kind of like by Poway.
So. Oh my gosh. Yeah. We lived there. We lived in Scripps Ranch. When we were first stationed there, we lived in the Poway Scripps Ranch area. That was the first place. And then we moved up to San Marcos. So, North County. And then my last station was, in LA. So we went to Santa Clarita. So yep. SoCal, man. And Las Vegas though, when you were 11, so been there ever since. That's pretty cool. Almost a native pretty much. And are you working right now or doing school or what do you have going on?
Yeah, I'm working. I work for the county here, locally. So, It's government work. So
what are you, a county sheriff?
I'm a programmer for the
county. Oh, cool, man. That's cool.
I feel like a lot of the magic audience gravitates towards the tech industries.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely off topic and we're not going to dig into it too deep since this is a magic podcast, but are you into blockchain at all?
No. I have to deal with a lot of old stuff working at the county.
Yeah. All right. Cool stuff. Sweet. So you work for the county out there living in Las Vegas. Pretty cool. There's some really big magic players out there in Las Vegas as well. Do you like bump into any of them or roll with any of the other big guys?
Yeah. You know, I mean, since I've been here for so long and I kind of learned to play magic here. I was here way before they kind of came down here for poker and whatnot. But once they started moving, they don't really play in a lot of tournaments except for like the pre-releases. The pre-releases are real rough here now. You know, it might be like, you know, they invite, you know, some of their friends to stay with them. It might be like five Hall of Famers. It's kind of crazy at times.
That's fun. And you predated them, like you said, so you set the tone for all those pros coming in.
Yeah, it was easier to kind of be king of the city back before they moved. Now I can't really say I'm you know considered one of the better players in town. It's rough because there's a few of them here.
Well, don't sell yourself short because you're out there doing what we want to do. You know, you're doing well at Grand Prix and you've been around the game for a while. Like we said, champion of the ninth ever Grand Prix. And then here you are, still playing and making top eight. So that's pretty cool. What we want to do is we want to get your origin story. We would love for you to take us back in time and tell us the story of the first time you ever saw or played with magic cards.
Oh, wow. I didn't understand what magic was and I didn't know what it wasn't on my radar at all. But my grandmother actually read a piece in the paper that was describing magic, this magic game. Wow. So she cut the article out, gave it to me and I read it a few times and she thought it would be something I was into, you know, and it sounded interesting. So with that kind of information, I went and bought a pack of magic, not knowing what the game was, not knowing how to play. I bought a pack of the dark set and I thought with that pack I could start playing. And I found out quickly that one booster pack does not make anything.
Does not a deck make.
No. So after that I kind of it was nice that the high school that I went to had a few players there, so I was able to kind of play with some of them. They kind of taught me the ropes and then from there kind of snowballed into where not only was I building, you know, decks and kind of copying from others. I think that's where everybody starts is they try to emulate who's beating them the most.
Yeah.
So I tried to copy a deck that was beating me a lot at school. And then from there, kind of when I was always a big comic book guy and I'd seen some of the cards in the comic book shops. So I knew some of the comic shops around town. So eventually I wandered into one of them and found out about the tournament scene. And that was, I never knew I was a competitive guy before this. I never played a whole lot of sports or got into a whole lot of, you know, really competitive things, but it definitely got my competitive edge out where I was like, these tournaments are what I want to be playing in. So from there, you know, I played in a lot of local tournaments there. And then once the Pro Tour qualifier started, I was playing before the qualifiers were even the thing. So I was able to see the first few kind of come to town. And then from there it was, hey, let's start traveling for some of these. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we would travel. It's really nice living here in Las Vegas because we're a short drive from Southern California. We're a little bit longer drive to Northern California, but then we've got Phoenix that's right there. And then even Salt Lake City, I've been to Salt Lake City many times to play in qualifiers. So back when the old system where if you win a tournament, you get to go play on the Pro Tour, it was, I had a lot of options to play in with kind of like a, you know, night's drive away.
That's cool. I live just south of Salt Lake City right now. So I'm all for them bringing another Grand Prix of Salt Lake. It's been a while.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
But yeah. That's cool, man. I love how you got into it. Like your grandma cut out an article and gave it to you. Like that is so cool. You should have been like, all right, grandma, you got me into this. You should play with me. You should drag around to all these places with you.
Yeah. I definitely roped in a few people that didn't want to play. I had played her a couple times and she did not get it.
Oh, well, good for you. At least you played with her. That's really fun. That's cool. So the Dark was your first set. It's pretty cool. And, yeah, like you said, one booster pack, got to get a little bit more than that, but that's pretty, you know, figure that out pretty quick. What would you say has been your favorite set?
Tempest. I really like
nice.
Tempest.
Yeah, me too. That's good stuff.
I was a big fan of just the way that the cards meshed. I've always been a fan of X spells, so having Rolling Thunder in there was nice. So,
and back to Dominaria here real soon, so we should be seeing more Weatherlight and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm excited for that set. I've kind of grown tired of the current set, ready to move on to the new.
Yeah, good stuff. What's one of your favorite cards?
I love Jackal Pup. Cool.
So yeah, for those of us who don't know, what is it? What does it do? And why do you like it?
Jackal Pup costs one red mana and it's a 2/1. And whenever it's dealt damage, that damage goes to you instead. In addition to. So it gets dealt 3. It dies. You get dealt 3. So it's just that aggressive slant towards the car where it was 1 mana, 2/1, which was kind of rare back in the day. It really, really played to my strengths where I really like to put aggression out of my opponents and have them try to deal with what I'm doing. So
yeah. No, that's really neat. That's fun. And you mentioned kind of your development or seeing Magic develop around you and being competitive and kind of growing with it. When you started going to more events, more competitive events, what would you say was an early challenge that you faced?
I wouldn't say – I thought at first like meeting people was going to be hard, but meeting people was actually really, really easy. You know, everybody's really kind of friendly at first. I don't know if you've kind of covered this before, but playing back in the late 90s, early 2000s, it was definitely different than playing now where sometimes – people are really friendly, but they will try to angle shoot you or try to, you know, get different edges on you. So it was definitely a different environment, but I thought friends would be the hardest, but it definitely wasn't. I think the hardest probably was maintaining focus. That was something that I struggled with early on where I could beat like one of the best players at the tournament, but I would also lose to the guy who just started playing where I just, you know, didn't really try to take things seriously. So,
what did you do to, first of all, what brought that to your attention? And then what did you do to overcome it?
Losing the first round of tournaments, you know, time after time, even being able to make top 8 after losing the first round of the tournament, it still raises flags, you know, like it's, the first round is supposed to be nice and easy, you know, kind of getting your feet wet, getting, you know, the nerves out of your system, but continually losing it. You can lose the first round of a tournament, you know, here and there, but continually doing that, that was definitely a red flag, and that was something that I wanted to fix.
And so what did you do to fix it?
You know what? Just when I started noticing that it was happening, I understood that I had this perception where I should beat this player, you know, like that was my, so I didn't really try to work towards a win. So once I noticed that, I was like, you know what? Anybody can beat anybody on any day. I can beat, you know, a good player, a better player than me. So why can't they beat me? You know, I have to look at it from their angle. They can beat me. So at that point forward, I tried to take every opponent seriously and try to look at them all the same. Like, you're not all the same. I'm not supposed to beat you, and I'm not supposed to lose to you. You're all the same. So I think that was the key and kind of upping my game is there is no free wins.
Yeah, I love that. So what would you say to someone who's in a similar situation? They're starting to be more competitive at Magic, going to more competitive events and whatnot, and maybe they're struggling with maintaining their focus from match to match. What advice would you have for them?
Like, really, I mean, it's the same ways they get these meaningful victories. And see, that's why we play Magic, is these tough nail biter wins that, you know, that was such a close win. Always strive towards that. Try to get every angle and every opportunity. Play every guy tough. You know, you make the most out of all of your cards at all times. You know, it's, don't take anybody lightly. Pretend they're all, you know, John Finkel. Just play them hard. Yeah. Play everybody hard.
That's cool. Sweet. So obviously, to maintain, you know, that level of focus and to do well in Magic takes a lot of, you know, dedication. So how has your dedication to Magic impacted your life?
Well, you know, it was much easier when I'm an old guy now, but, you know, when I was younger, getting onto the scene, time was easy to come by. You know, it was, didn't have that serious of a job, kind of went to school, my friends, similar situations. So we could play all night, you know, we could sit there and just play test and game and, you know, play on the weekends and every day on the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Friday nights. So playing as much as possible was the way to go back then, you know, just getting in as many reps as possible. Now, older, having, you know, real life commitments, time's definitely harder to come by. And one thing that's helped me, I don't get to play a lot of live Magic, but I play online a fair amount. And I think that the way that they've structured a lot of these draft tournaments has helped me a lot in being able to grab pockets of time. You know, if I've got 30 minutes, I can play a match. You know, if I've got, you know, before you had to set aside 3 hours for a draft. Yeah. And now that's just not the case. I can just game for an hour and then, you know, go on and rest of my day. So that's been great.
Yeah, that's really neat. And have you found that other areas of your life have improved or not? I don't know, have been affected by what you have, you know, gleaned through your dedication to Magic?
Well, I think that, you know, since I played it, not really knowing how to be competitive, kind of just letting, I don't know, life go by. Mm-hmm. I think it's that competitive edge has helped me in other areas. It's helped me in the job. You know, I mean, it's not to say, hey, I'm out there competing with everybody, all of my coworkers, but I want to win, and we can all do that as a team. You know, they have Team Magic. You know, you can play three guys. You're playing three individual games, but you're all a part of a team. So there is a shared success there too. But just trying to put your best effort towards everything. That's kind of what I learned from Magic. You know, you don't want to be embarrassed. You want to put your best product out there, and that can be in whatever your passion is, whether, you know, it be programming or, you know, writing or whatever. It's just try to put quality into all of your work. You know,
I love that. Put your best effort into all your work. That's really, really neat. Through your Magic journey, you've had ups and downs like every Magic player has. And what would you say has been your worst Magic moment?
Oh, you know, that's a that's a rough one. I don't really know what my worst Magic moment is. I can actually think of it. Okay. It was, I had stopped playing for a while. I met a girl and she kind of like took me away from the scene. So when I got back into it, I played at a Grand Prix, and I already had three buys for my rating. So it was a Grand Prix down in San Diego, and I went into it with zero practice, kind of just decided to, yeah, I'm going to play the sealed deck, built the sealed deck terribly, got my three buys. I got a victory after my three buys, so I'm 4-0. And I remember I didn't get a single win after that. I missed day two. I just got crushed. I was playing there was this goblin. It was he shoots for the number of goblins you control.
And Yeah.
I didn't have a lot of goblins in my deck, but I played the 1-2 flyer for three in a world full of morphs. Having something that isn't two power that costs three mana in a world full of morphs is not the way to do it. So I remember one of my opponents laughing when I played that card, and that was pretty embarrassing that I didn't have a good read on the format, that I didn't really know what I was doing in that tournament. So that was I remember that distinctly when my opponent laughed when I played that card, and I didn't know any better. You know, it wasn't like sometimes your opponents laugh at your card and you're like, no, this is actually good. You might be wrong.
Joke's on you, buddy. But yeah,
but in this case, this guy was definitely right. So that was probably the one that just jumps to my mind right now.
So, I mean, I had a similar situation where it was back in Avacyn Restored, and I was drafting, and or maybe it was before that. I don't know. I was drafting one of my first drafts, and I pass a pack, and the guy next to me like guffaws, like vocally, like I was like, oh, what I do? I pass something amazing. I'm the worst. And I was like, I don't want that to happen again. So I started really diving into it a bit more. So what did you learn from this experience going, you know, back to a Grand Prix after having a little bit of a break and then getting crushed? And what did you take away that you can share with us?
Well, first off, rust is real. Sometimes it's not as easy as you think it is jumping right back into it, especially after as long. I don't know if it was a year that I had taken off or if it was 6 months, but it was a long period of time. So that's one thing. And be prepared. You know, go into every tournament prepared. And different tournaments, you're going to have different amount of time to prepare for. So they're not all going to be equal. But I went in stone cold just thinking that I was going to be the best. So that was the wrong approach for sure. So always be prepared as much as you can, you know.
I love that. Rust is real. You're coming back, especially you have to practice, and even if you're not coming back, you have to, you know, maintain your skills to do well at events. That's cool. So obviously the flip side are ups. What has been your proudest Magic moment?
I just top eighted in Houston. I was really happy about that because this is I played, you know, and made my two Grand Prix top eights with the ninth ever win there in the 90s and early 2000s. And I took a giant break from the game to actually go play a different game. When I came back, my friend actually top eighted a pro tour. So that really got the fire going in me. And we would travel to a lot of Grand Prix. And I really hadn't broken out. I'd made a lot of day twos. I cashed once. But you know, I was able to not put together a good day one, but not a day two. So actually, you know, this Grand Prix top eight my first Grand Prix top eight was in 98, and now we're, you know, it's 2018 and I made another Grand Prix top eight. It was really nice to see that I still kind of can play it in leap level and still compete well. And, you know, I still kind of got it. Like, so that was definitely something that I was doubting there for a while. Can I still compete with these guys?
And, well, that's cool, man. Congrats. That's really neat. What game did you go off to play?
I went to go play the, WoW, TCG.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. So that was a fun game.
Do they have a competitive scene?
They did. They had a similar type of tournament structure to where they had a large, extensive Grand Prix. They called it a Dark Moon Fair. Mm-hmm. And then they had Worlds and Nationals that had bigger prizes. So it was similar. That's kind of what drew me into it, that it was kind of similar. And all my friends were playing it too. I had played in a PTQ while they were all playing WoW, and I was like, you know, this is not where I want to be. You know, I would say not even half. I would say 80% of Magic is really like getting along with your friends and having a good time. So when none of them were there at that PTQ, I kind of was like, maybe I'm playing the wrong game here. But yeah, the game died eventually. So
kind of rolled it up. Was it a fairly big scene, like, or was it the same people that would always be at the top of events?
It was it was a much smaller audience that played that game. You would, and after a while, you would see the same kind of competitor, you know, like the top level guys. You would see them over and over and over in all the tournaments, and it wasn't hard to get to know all of them. So it was, you know, I mean, we've got, you know, 2,000, 3,000, you know, Grand Prix. There, no way was that going on. So it was easier to get to know everybody that kind of played the game, even just some, you know, all of all different levels. So that was nice to get into a small community.
Yeah. A good friend of mine, plays the Game of Thrones LCG, like competitively or whatever. And, it's like, so they go to a lot of events and it's like, when they go to nationals, it's like the same like two or three guys that every year. It kind of like goes back and forth. There's a lot of players, but it's such a small, like, you know, community, and they're just really good that they rose to the top. And so there's like these same three guys that just kind of pass around this national title every single year. So I was just wondering how the WoW game was. So
I would say it's comparable to that, you know, maybe a little bit bigger, but not much.
Yeah, that's funny. So playing different types of games, you have had, I'm sure, lots of experience with sportsmanship, both good and bad, exhibited by others and by yourself, I'm sure. And so let's dive into that a little bit. Talk about what does sportsmanship mean to you, Robert?
Well, you know, I mean, I kind of touched on this earlier where, you know, earlier when I first got into Magic, it was nice when you were playing against your local players, but then when you kind of went to other areas, it was very competitive and everybody was looking to gain an edge and nobody was there to be nice to you. And it was rough. I mean, I know some people refer to it as wild, wild west, you know, where they will stick you to every single word that you say, and they will, you know, call a judge over for any card tap. It was really rough back then. So I think sportsmanship was, there's a fine line between, you know, some of the things that they were doing back then. And I wasn't exempt from that. I had my moments too. It was rough. Having come back to it, when I went to go play that at my other game, having a small community definitely changes the tone. You know, not everybody, I kind of saw how, hey, this can be better. And so when I came back to Magic, I was fretful that, hey, this is the same community that I left, this, you know, pack of wolves that's ready to get a win by any means necessary. And I was pleasantly surprised. And you know, it's so much easier to sit down and play an entire tournament and not have to worry, not have to keep an eye on your, like a hawk's eye on your opponent the whole time. And, you know, just to have a fun time. It's much easier to be nice than it is to be mean. So it's, you know, you're all there for the same purpose. You're all spending, you know, the same amount of money to get where you're going. And why not make this as fun as possible? And not only that, but playing this game, anybody who's played this game for any amount of length should understand that losses are going to come and strange losses are going to come, but same with wins. You're going to win in the same way that you just lost. So you can't take anything too personally. You can't, hey, this is Manuscript and I'm just so angry that I can't, you know, I'm not even going to congratulate my opponent or anything. That's, you're going to get wins off of that too. So you can't get upset. You know, you don't want your opponent getting upset with you. So understand that if you're going to play this game for any sort of a period longer, you know, that you're going to be able to hit all these weird interactions. So don't get carried away. It's just a game, and it's going to happen in the reverse, you know, given enough time.
I love that. So I love diving into this and getting people's perspective on it and what it means to them. And, you know, like you said, you experience wins and losses. And to me, that's part of what being a sportsman is winning with class and losing with grace. And it means a lot when people handle themselves well. On that note, how do you handle losses?
You know what? I always try, after I lose, I always try to, I understand that I always try to make eye contact with my opponent. I feel like some people will walk away. Mm-hmm. Some people will, you know, offer you the, you know, kind of handshake, but not really, like, okay, yeah, good game, bye. No, look them in the eye, you know, and I always wish them good luck in the rest of their rounds, you know, like, hey, whether or not this game went well or not, good luck in the rest of your rounds. They are going to help you. You know, they are going to be your tiebreakers. So why not wish them luck?
Yeah.
So, you know, but I, by looking him in the eye, I kind of try to convey that I mean it. I'm not just saying it out of routine or, you know, just because that's the, you know, that's the agreed upon custom that everybody's saying. No, I honestly, I really wish you good luck. So, you know, in the rest of your rounds, I want you to win, you know.
That's cool.
So,
yeah, that's good. And what would you say is the biggest mistake that you've seen players make as you've gone through Magic?
Ignoring things that are on the board. That's something that comes up way too often, and it doesn't bother me because, you know, sometimes it'll benefit me, but to me there's not many excuses for playing into what's on the board. The board is shared information, so you should be aware of what's on your opponent's side. So when they tap a creature to block, that shouldn't surprise you. You should have seen that coming. So really studying the board, I think that too many people just don't look at it. I also think that just to kind of – I go a different way is people sometimes get a little bit too aggressive or too passive. They don't know exactly when to switch gears or how to play it. I had an opponent at the Grand Prix that I played at. He played way too aggressively and he played his removal out way too fast. After the game was over, I kind of asked him why he was doing it that way. And he just saw, hey, I really wanted to get the jump on you. And I'm like, but you traded one of your quality removals for a low cost creature. He's like, I just wanted to keep the pressure on. And he lost because of that. You know, he didn't understand that he needs to kind of switch gears and maybe he doesn't need to be as aggressive right now. It's the beginning of the game. So yeah. I think people have a hard time reading when to switch gears.
Any thoughts on that? How do we get better at that? How do we recognize when we need to switch gears?
Well, I think it's very contextual. So you really have to look at your hand and try to imagine how this game is going to play out. You know, how is it going to go from here on? And not only that, but what is your opponent playing? Like what are the colors that he's playing? What are the tricks in the format? How is his game plan? Is he doing nothing? Does he have four mana out and he hasn't played a single thing? Well, that would, you know, lead you to believe that you should probably start closing out this game.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that it's hard to do, and a lot of reps will help you at that. You'll kind of try to replay games that you've lost, where you've gone wrong, where the game kind of turned. And maybe that'll get you a better understanding of, hey, maybe I wasn't aggressive enough. I wasn't attacking. I was missing, you know, random points. And sometimes, you know, people will miss kills by not really looking at the board and projecting that out two turns. I know that they have bigger creatures at me, but if I attack two straight turns, I'm going to kill them. So sometimes they're just worried about losing their creatures, and you need to really kind of play things out into the future. So, trying to replay the losses, I think, is a good way to start.
And what are your shortcomings as a Magic player that you're trying to work on?
You know, I don't play a lot of constructed at all. That's an area that I hope to shore up here before the Pro Tour. I wouldn't say I'm well-rounded. I also, it takes me a while to kind of get into, I play a lot of limited, so I play a lot of sealed deck and a lot of draft. It takes me a while to learn the draft format. So I think that kind of getting in, you know, learning the tricks of the format, I'm a little slower on. So I could probably understand that. I've definitely caught off guard, and you know, when the set first comes off, as the set goes on, I kind of get better at the format. So learning the tricks is something that I could definitely improve on.
Yeah, that definitely helps. I've been blown out many a time in a limited environment that I wasn't as familiar with that I probably should have been. So yeah, that's cool. Now, what have you learned from Magic that you've been able to apply to other areas of your life?
Well, so I kind of talked about, you know, being competitive and kind of that was something that was big. But I guess another thing was the preparation that I put into some of my tournaments, especially when I was younger, was kind of unreal. And it was like, you know what? Being prepared for different formats and different decks and metagames it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of, you know, theory crafting, and sometimes it's deck building and, you know, just practice. That can be directly applied to other things in my life. You know, some things are going to come up where you're not going to be prepared for them in life, but lots of things you're always going to be able to prepare for. So you should be trying to always like being practiced, always be ready, you know, like there's things that you can do to prepare for your job, or, you know, if you're going to be buying a house, there's things that you can research and that you can look at, you know, there, yeah. You shouldn't be unprepared for these known, you know, things, you know, you, if it's out there, you should be gaining this information. You should be reading about it. You know, it could go, if you buying a car, buying a house, mm-hmm. your job, doing a presentation, dry run that presentation, you know, just like you would practice for a tournament, you know, do that presentation for some of your coworkers, find out get some feedback. So prepare for your life like you would a magic tournament. And if that's really what your passion is, and I think that'll help you in other areas.
Sweet. Yeah, I agree. That's good stuff. Knowing that preparation pays off, you know, it takes a lot of effort, but it's worth it, you know, in the end, when you put in the time, that's definitely something that we hone as magic players preparing for events. And that is portable to, other areas. That's really cool. I've seen that too. So that's pretty neat. So this season, how many pro points do you have so far?
Well, I've just got the one Grand Prix top eight, so it's just the four so far.
Not bad, because then you get three for going to the Pro Tour.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. You know, it's one of those things. It'd be great if I could get enough points to get to a level where I can get some benefits, bronze, silver.
Bronze right there. You know, 3 points out, and so, you know, that gives you invites to all the RPTQs. That's cool.
That'll definitely be cool, because that's something that it's kind of funny. Before I top eighted in Houston, I had played in a PPTQ the weekend before, and I went 1-2, and I couldn't top eight a 40 man PPTQ, but I could top eight a Grand Prix.
There you go.
It was pretty funny, just the way things work out sometimes. But it would be nice to kind of skip the. It's funny. I'm kind of conflicted. It would be nice to skip the PPTQ system, but that's a lot of my tournaments in the area are PPTQ. So,
What do you need at the Pro Tour to get 3 points in addition to the three that you're already getting?
Oh, I'm no idea.
Yeah. I don't know. Is it like 10, 5? I don't know.
I haven't played on the Pro Tour in an extremely long time. So this will be my first Pro Tour in 15 years or so. So
what's your plan to prepare? Are you linking up with other qualified personnel or?
You know what? I have a friend that we share a lot of cards online. I think what we're going to be doing is doing a lot of constructed queues, and just, I always draft a ton whenever the set comes out. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be the big change here is just jumping in a lot of constructed queues and just getting some reps, kind of studying the deck list. That's something that I haven't really done in the past is looking to see what's out there. You know, they post those 5-0 decks. So that's going to be a good thing. So,
cool.
But it's not like I have a whole lot of, people here that I can play live with, or even that I would have the time to play live with. I think that my schedule kind of is more online testing.
Yeah. So other than Magic Online, do you have any daily habits or rituals that you feel contributes to your success as a player?
You know, I kind of touched on this playing other games, but you know, when playing WoW, there's the skills from Magic translated to WoW, and then, you know, in addition, you know, the things that I learned in WoW translated to Magic. But I think just I play a lot of games just in my other free time. That would be the only thing that kind of translates to Magic. You know, just being able to, like, Magic is definitely got its own, you know, feel to it. When you start playing like board games and other, like doing escape rooms and stuff like that, it makes you think. It makes you think differently, and I think that's just being able to. I think it's a big benefit in Magic, approaching a problem from a different angle.
Yeah,
I think that's why you should also talk to as many people and get as many perspectives. Even if at first you think that this person's way off, hear them out, you know, and listen getting different angles will help you playing Magic, because I think that's what the best players do, is they really get a lot of opinions, and then they can, you know, kind of put away their own biases. And maybe I'm wrong on this. So,
man, this, yeah, I'm a big, you know, gamer too, like loving board games and stuff like that. So that's neat. And you're right, there is a big tie-in. It's neat. It also helps you learn new things quickly, you know, whether it's Magic or other games. Like when you have a wide breadth, when you encounter like a new game or a situation, you're like, oh, this is like, you know, this mechanic's like this mechanic in this other game. Yes. So you kind of pick up on the games really quickly, and you're like, okay, we can just drive right in and get this going. So it's a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
So, oh man, that's cool. That's cool. Well, sweet. As we kind of approach the end here, I want to remind the Prodigies, if you want to connect with Robert, you can do so in the Facebook group. We're going to get him in there, and you can make a post and tag him in it. That'll be the best way to reach out to him. And that's mtgprotutor.com/Facebook group. We'll redirect you there. So, Robert, what is one last parting piece of guidance you have for us? Either something you already said that you want to emphasize, or something new you'd like to leave with us here at the end?
Well, I would kind of expand on getting other information. I think that's really going to help your game. You know, you're always going to try to look at it from the same angle. So stepping outside, meeting a different person that you might not agree with at first, watching, there's so much content out there that you can get a wide variety of opinions and approaches to the game. And I think taking as much of that as you can, whether it be all online, if you can, or if it's even on a local level, you know, get everybody's opinion on cards. If you're not sure, like you said, you mentioned earlier that you never wanted to pass, you know, that rare, you know, how do you know that? Well, you don't know that at first, you know, maybe eventually you can get there where you can start reading cards when they first come out and you know what not to pass. But sometimes, you know, hey, am I missing anything in this pack? You know, get some drafters' opinions, get some other people's opinions, so that, you know, that's going to happen. You know, you're going to be able to learn that without making the pass. You know, you can go into there before, hey, what are some things I should be looking out for in this draft set? And maybe, you know, it's like, boom, you know, Ravenous Kupachabra, you should never pass.
No,
you know,
it's, yeah, that's true.
That might just be a topic where they kind of talk about it and say, well, why not? Why don't you ever want to pass that? And you can kind of have a discussion on that. So getting different opinions, I think, will help you for sure.
Sweet. Well, thank you so much, Robert. I want to acknowledge you for your contributions to Multiverse. And thank you so much for your time, for sharing your stories and your experiences with us. You are a hero among planeswalkers. It's been a blast chatting with you. May you never be mana screwed. Always draw what you need and depart every plane victorious.
Excellent. Had fun, man. Thanks.
Robert, thank you so much for being our guest on episode 285, Prodigies. Of course, you can get the show notes at mtgpro2.com/Robert Sworsky. Of course, you can get the show notes at mtgpro2.com/Robert Sworsky. And there will be links to any resources that were mentioned, as well as a synopsis of what we talked about today. Now, I said that at the end of the episode, I would announce the winner of the Patreon exclusive giveaway for April. And I am proud to announce that it is Pat North. Pat, congratulations, my friend. Thank you so much for your support of the show. I really appreciate it, and I'm so excited to send you a Dominaria bundle provided by Paragon City Games. So thank you, Paragon City Games, for that. And Pat, good luck. I hope that you open up some really sweet stuff in there, maybe a foil card or something. I don't know. But we'll be sending that your way, and again, thank you for your support. Also, huge shout-out, huge welcome to Wade McNutt, our newest patron who joined at the Vexation of Zombies level. So Wade, welcome, and thank you. What the zombies and above level gets you is an invite to our monthly hangouts when those get unlocked based on the goals that you can see on our Patreon page, as well as zombies and above get the first round of merchandise sent to them for free. When that gets unlocked, then they'll be the first ones to get it. So that's a pretty sweet deal. Pat, congratulations. Wade, welcome. Good luck to everybody going to GP Toronto this weekend. I, of course, will be here celebrating Avison's first birthday, and I could not be happier to be doing that. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode. I can't wait to join you again next week, where we have another great guest lined up. And stay tuned, because I'm proud to say that we have another listener turned guest who will be on the show very shortly. How cool is that? By my count, that's two, and I'm really looking to keep that ball rolling. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a single episode. You'll be able to catch that as soon as it comes out. And last but not least, I hope you join us in the Dominaria Prodigy Sealed League. It is open right now, but registration closes tomorrow on Saturday the 19th. So please go to mtgpro2.com/sealed league if you are at all interested in joining us. You send in your registration payment, you get your pool early next week, you build that pool, and then you get to play 9 rounds of awesome Magic with other prodigies, other listeners of the show, and there is a Cut the Top 8 with prizes for everybody who makes it to the Top 8. So, if you're interested in the Sealed League, then join us, mtgpro2.com/Sealed League, and we'll get you started right off. But act fast, we're closing registration tomorrow, so we can get a clear count of who's in, and I can get all the pools distributed early next week. Whew, a lot of fun stuff going on, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. So thanks so much for tuning in. If you made it this far, you're a true fan. Thank you so much. I look forward to having you join me again next week when we have another guest lined up for a great Magic discussion. So until then, I'm Sean of The Gathering, and we will see you in the next cast.
This round of MTG Pro Tutor is over. So you don't miss a single episode of MTG Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast listening service for more exclusive interviews, deck building tips, and elite content. Or visit mtgprotutor.com to stream it straight from the source. We look forward to helping you think and play like a pro.